Thank you very much, Ruth. I don't know about you, but I found this a little bit of a melancholic time of the year. The lights have come down. The tree is back in the loft, or it's gone to the recycling plant if you've got a real one. The cards have been looked at for one last time. The memory of the turkey and the gravy and the Yule logs and the mince pies just lingers as an extra £8 that somehow need to be lost over the coming weeks. The nights are dark, the house looks bare, the visitors have all gone. And so now, depressed and exhausted, we wish one another Happy New Year. And it's true that for many in our town, the season of peace and goodwill may have become nothing more than a season of family conflict and mounting debt. And as we've heard in the prayers, the news out of Australia and out of Iraq do seem to indicate that a season of peace and goodwill has come to a rather abrupt end. Our reading that Ruth brought to us was from the book of Jeremiah, and as a prophet, his name has become synonymous with despair, dreariness, and endless warnings of bad news. But what Jeremiah was really was God's voice giving the people a reality check about their own lives. For centuries, the Israelites had been paying lip service to their God. They weren't really interested in getting to know him. They were bothered enough to try and appease him. They didn't want him bringing destruction or a change to their way of life. But their way of life had become a procession of cynical religious festivals, taking no notice of God's real purpose, which was to help people live more godly lives. In fact, life had become a treadmill of desire for wealth at the expense of others. And if you read Jeremiah, you discover a people who were involved in drinking, abuse, cheating, lying, willfully ignoring the plights of the foreigners, the widows, and the orphans. It's not new news. It's all in this book, which is 2,500 years old. And the reality check that God was giving was to say that this really was not okay. Over their history, the people of Israel had witnessed how God had dealt with the nations that had behaved abominably towards them in the past. They had seen how God had dealt with Pharaoh and the armies who held the Hebrews as slaves. They had seen how God had dealt with the Midianites through Gideon, had dealt with the Philistines on many occasions. The stories of Samson and David particularly spring to mind. And Jeremiah, what he's trying to do is desperately trying to hold up a mirror to the nation of Israel and say, can't you see? You have become like them. And God has no choice but to deal with you as he has dealt with them in the past. And so, one day, catastrophic destruction comes. And it comes with the king of Babylon. In 586 BC, Jerusalem is besieged, overrun, the temple sacked, and the people of God carried off into captivity. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, this is a very happy story for the start of the decade. So glad we came to church this morning. Thanks, Ian, very much. These people are carried away to a country with different gods, a different language, a different culture, different customs, different values, and a hostile government. So all of Jeremiah's prophesying comes true. Babylon becomes the new home for the people of God. And so Jeremiah writes a letter sent by a few people with unpronounceable names who Ruth just realizes she's been let off the hook reading at the beginning of chapter 9. And he writes this letter, part of which we've just had read. A letter to these broken people, assuring them of something. Something very special and something very, very precious. God has not abandoned them. Instead, he has given them some new instructions that will bring them onto a path towards restoration. So why this passage for a covenant service? Well, my friends, the harsh reality is this. We are kind of living in Babylon. Our town of 170,000 people, only about 1% are regularly worshipping God. And less than 1% are meeting in small groups and reading scripture and praying regularly. We live in a nation that hardly knows the laws and the teachings of God, let alone lives by them. So the call to live as faithful members of God's family, of God's community, in a different country, is actually where we find ourselves today as well. So what does the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, say? Well, he seems to indicate that his people can discover this different country as a place of blessing. A place where they can still grow food and build houses and marry and settle down. And from there, the Israelites were commanded to seek the peace and the prosperity of the city. To pray for it. Not pray against it, but pray for it. But God also warns, commands, whatever word you like to look. He says, don't look for the false hope that this situation will change after 5 minutes. Setting up rebellions, setting up protests, in the main, will do people no good. Because once the time has come, it is God who will fulfill his gracious promise to bring them back to him. Regime overthrow is God's business. Our business is to pray, is to work, is to bless the country we find ourselves in. Ultimately, hostile regimes will not be overthrown by violence and war, whatever Mr. Trump might think. But they will melt away if they are engulfed with love. Our battle is to become makers of peace and not makers of war. So this coming year, this coming decade, our primary responsibility is to live seeking the peace and the welfare of the community that we find ourselves set in. Yes, there will be frustrations. Yes, there will be times when we wonder, is God really there? Is he really working out his purposes through us? But we can be assured that he is. The child in the manger proves it to be the case. We are left in no doubt because he created us. He visited us in the person of Jesus Christ and who remains with us through the power of his Holy Spirit. The news is still good news. On Christmas Eve, the Oliver family went to see the final installment of the Star Wars saga. I wonder, did many other people go over Christmas and see it? Nobody at all. Oh, well, there we are. Star Wars is clearly more niche than I imagined. But anyhow, the end seemed hopeless. A great fleet of battle cruisers with the power to destroy planets created to ensure that the galaxy was forever held under the tyranny of power and might. That seemed to be it for the galaxy. And yet, there was hope. There was more hope than anyone in the resistance had dared to imagine. And at the right time, the powers of hope and love prevailed. Yeah. Even in the galaxy far, far away, the story was all about hope. And our Christian story is also about hope, that Christ has come, that he is risen, and that he will come again. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness can never overcome it. We have to hold on and hold strong to our calling. We have to be the ones who reach out to those that the world ignores. We have to be the ones who stand up for and listen to those who have no voice. We can become a beacon, a rallying point for those in Telford who have found their faith in the world to be ultimately unfulfilling. Because we can point to one who is greater than us, one whose shoes we are unworthy to untie, one who loves us more than we ever dreamed possible. We have remade that covenant pledge today. May we keep that promise that we will remain a people together, a people who will listen, a people ready to learn, ready to love, ready to live our lives in the light of that hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what does it look like? What does it look like to live in a foreign and hostile world and still be distinctive, to still keep our faith? In the time of the great captivity in Babylon, there were some people, only a few, but there were some people who turned that evil, hostile empire around. And we find these characters in a particular book of the Bible, which follows very soon after Jeremiah, in a book called Daniel. Later in the Bible, we discover there's another great character who challenged and subverted the religious and the political leaders of his day. The one who was God made man, the child in the manger again, who grew up to exemplify what it really means to live as a human being. So our plan over the next few weeks, the next few months, is to explore together, if you're up for this, the book of Daniel, and draw parallels with it, with the life of Jesus. But this is not just designed to be a clever intellectual exercise, just studying the Bible. No, my fellow Padawans, this is a practical training course from the Master himself. We're going to learn how to live and fight and shine as a light in the darkness, so that together we can stand firm. Together we can overcome. Together we can keep that hope alive. That together we can overcome the fear, overcome the prejudice, overcome the pride, overcome ourselves. That we can allow God in to transform us, and in transforming us, transform the whole world. And as with all training, as with all learning, it is something that we can choose to do or choose not to do. We can either play at it a bit and remain largely unchanged, or we can work at it And in so doing, find ourselves deepening our commitment, deepening our friendships, deepening our capacity for courage, for compassion, for integrity, for love. God's promise to the exiles was this, verse 14. I will be found by you, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from the nations and the places where I have banished you, and bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Now, because of Jesus, we know that the kingdom of God is no longer just in the geography of the Middle East. It is now in the geography of the human soul. The place where Jesus will bring us back is to his own heart, to that fully restored kingdom of a heart without sin, a place without pain or fear or tears. And the journey will necessarily at times be a tough one. It will take faith, it will take hope, it will take trust, it will take effort. But to the one who endures, to the one who joins this great enterprise of faith, the rewards will be so, so worth it. The covenant that we have made unites us as a community in our desire to become like Jesus. So come, friends. Come, my brothers and sisters, on to a journey which will take us deeper into God, deeper into distinctiveness, into becoming brighter, shining lights of God's goodness and God's glory. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you lead us and have left us not without hope, but that you have come to us, you have shown us what love and what hope and what peace are like. You set a challenge before us to live lives as disciples of Jesus Christ, to live as exiles in a hostile world, to live as your disciples with integrity. Lord, we realize that so many people in our world are looking for truth, are looking for hope, are looking for integrity, are looking for peace, are looking for a new way to live, a new leader to lead them, a new voice to cut through the pain and the sorrow. And Lord, we recognize that the only voice that ever does that effectively is yours. Lord, would you use us? And would you use this time that we have together over the next few months studying the book of Daniel to shine your light into our lives, to recognize who you are calling us to be, that you can envision us with the change that we can be in our families, in our own lives, in our community, in our workplaces, here on Dorley Bank, maybe particularly with the building project still underway. Lord, may this be a decade where we do not lose faith in you, but that we discover that it is our faith and our faith alone that can take us with confidence and with courage and with joy on the journey that is set before us and bring us into a place of eternal hope and peace with you. Amen. The story of the exile started as a story of the people who were walking in darkness, needing to see a great light. And of course, that light was most fully worked out in our Lord Jesus. And the hope was there as he was placed on the cross, dying the death that we deserve. The only way to overcome the evil empire of sin and fear and hostility. And so it is to that Lord Jesus Christ that we turn now as we move into a time of communion. And the music group are going to lead us in singing "When I Survey That Wondrous Cross."